Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
I will end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's my commitment to you.
They are literally voiceless, not yet with tongues, and perhaps even without names yet. They, too, require our most careful attention and radical support.
There are senators that have been involved with the slaughtering of innocent children. Our vice president goes to communion, and yet he has supported the sucking out of brains of babies.
It has been a long week. At least it feels like it's been a long week. Well, a fit end to a long week would be catching up on some of that long overdue email and a few comments on the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon. That's what we're going to try and do here for the first half hour. Well, really, the first hour, because we got a lot of email to get through. We spent some time, although the listeners, both on demand and live, may not have noticed, we spent some time off last week, I believe, and doing so means we didn't get to a lot of email. We didn't go through email on Friday, so we're going to do it today. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon. It's the 16th of October. You can join us for the next 2 hours. First, listener email and Issues Etc. comment line, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or, as always, Twitter us at issuesetc. We'll have Issues Etc. blog of the week at the very end of this very... I got a great one. A great one. Absolutely great this week. Very end of this hour, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Maggie Gallagher will join us in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the health of marriage in America. Dr. Thomas von Hegel will help us remember one day in advance. First century... Early second century bishop martyr Ignatius of Antioch probably knew at least one of the apostles, sat at their feet. Then, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of Issues Etc. We got four soundbites to play for you, four very good soundbites this week. You listen, then you vote, 1-877-623-MY-IE, talk back at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter your votes at issuesetc. By the way, if you're voting on Facebook for those soundbites early, when we post the links to them, make sure you put where you're listening and your reason for voting. That way we can read it on the air and everybody gets to participate. What's up first?
Twitter as well.
Yeah, Twitter as well. Just, I know you don't have a lot of character space in Twitter. Just at least indicate where you're listening, name, and why.
Well, the reason it's been a long week is because it's been a long day because we sent out a mass email with a major, major faux pas. Monday, October 23rd marks the beginning of Reformation Week.
No, it doesn't.
Written by yours truly, well, proofed by yours truly, and my other two colleagues here, and my brother, Mike. And all we did was look for cosmetic issues, like, is the font size correct? And there's no Monday, October 23rd. So Reformation Week is next week. We have sent up a follow-up email, but that's kind of how our afternoon's gone.
Well, that just goes to show that while our listeners seem adept at communicating via email with us, we are less adept at communicating with them via email. But the point here is that Reformation Week is coming up. We got a great series on Reformation theology, and we're kicking off the Issues Etc. Reformation Club again. And that's very good news for us and our listeners.
I think the lesson to be learned is we desperately need a woman here, working here.
You know, that could be misinterpreted. What you just said. We need a woman to proofread our email.
Yes, we need a woman to catch, you know, major things like that.
Although, I mean, it wasn't a woman who caught it. One of our listeners caught it.
We've had several listeners via email. Only one phone call so far. But you've got to remember, most people are at work. And they're not checking their personal email right now. And So I just can't wait till we get back on Monday to correct us about
Nonetheless,
Monday, October 23rd.
It only affirms smartest listeners in radio.
Good point. Point well taken. How was your vacation?
It was good. It was very restful. We went on a something I swore I would never do, take a vacation with other pastors and their wives. Turned out great. We went with Pastor Michael Cum and his wife Janet, Pastor Bruce Kaseman and his wife, and also Pastor Dean Muley and his wife. The Wilkins went along. We had a great time. We went on a cruise down to someplace in Mexico. Didn't really make any difference. There was a beach. That's all I cared about. And I got to stare at the water, and that's all I cared about. And had a great time. Great, absolutely fantastic food. And the company was not too bad, actually. And I'm not talking about my wife. My wife was great company. We needed the time away. But the other pastors and their wives, they were tolerable. They were.
Craig and I have been wondering, what was the PF you used on the sun lotion?
None. Zero.
What? You don't even look like you got any sun.
I didn't get in the sun.
What did you do?
The best sunscreen is shade. And that's what I used. I used shade as sunscreen.
But still, with the sun down there, you should get something, even if you're in the shade.
I don't think I did. I mean, and I wasn't constantly, I wasn't carrying a parasol around or something like that, but I didn't use any sunscreen. Because I knew that I wasn't going to spend any time in the sun. And the Mexican sun will cook you. In a matter of 20 minutes, you can be sunburned really, really bad. There are a lot of people proving it down there. But I look, I'm not metrosexual. I don't need a tan. I'm pale. I'm pasty. I'm fair-skinned. I burn easily. I've come to grips with that. I'm 45 years old. Why start now? I mean, if I was going to start on the tan, good-looking,
I'm not talking about
yada,
the tan.
Yada, yada,
I'm saying you,
I should
you
have
came
done
back
it 20
white.
Years ago.
You've come back white. You've come back. So it made
whiter
us think,
than before.
Whiter, yes, you come back whiter than before. We figured you put some kind of PF thing on the whole time you're down there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I consider that a success. Go to Mexico, spend a week, and
I
come
concur.
Back whiter than before.
I concur. Did you wear those same shorts that were highlighted on the Facebook page yesterday?
I bought those shorts for $10 at Walmart just for the cruise, and I did wear them. I call them my fancy pants. They are great cruise pants, by the way. Airy, light, cabana wear. It was great. It was unbelievable.
I think Craig, what he did on his vacation was landscaping, right, Craig?
That's it?
Yeah. He won't send us a picture, though. We've been waiting a picture. I mean, lights and everything.
Yeah,
I hear you transformed Feitinger Manor into a whole new place by putting outdoor accent lights up.
I tell you, it looks great. I'm not just saying that. I mean, I've few neighbors have stopped by and give me the thumbs up or the roll down the window as they go by. Hey, it looks really good. Considering, I guess, for the last couple of years, there's been no landscaping in front of the house. I think anything that we would have done would have been a huge improvement. But my brother helped me this past week and a couple of weekends ago do some landscaping, plants, and grading and leveling and retaining walls and rock. And, man, I never worked so hard on a project like that of my own.
It's good for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's good for you. Manual labor is good for the soul. I can tell your soul is markedly improved after all that manual labor.
I think while I was out this past week, I think I got a tan, though.
Well,
you know what he did do? He did all this fancy schmancy landscaping, kind of like your fancy pants or whatever.
Yeah.
He got something from the county assessor's office. They want to reassess his house now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. So be careful.
Yeah,
don't overdo the landscaping.
No
lighting.
Good deed goes unpunished. So they stopped by the Feitinger Manor and they said, Lord Feitinger seems to be making some improvements there. Time to see if we can up his taxes.
Well,
goes to show you.
All I did on my vacation, a weekend in Chicago, rain, wind, all weekend. Four Schwarz kids, mom, dad, on Michigan Avenue, pouring down rain the entire day.
That sounds like fun.
Although my buddy Tim Doherty went to 5-1 and is probably going to make the state playoffs at Lincoln Way Central High School, up a suburb up in Chicago, out in New Lenox, Illinois.
Is that why you were there?
Yeah, we went up there to visit him. We make it an annual pilgrimage every the year, watch him Friday night, and spend the weekend in Chicago.
Very good.
But
I heard you got to address the team, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's don't go there.
This is like a Friday Night Lights or Hoosiers moment. There's Jeff called up. During the – was it in the locker room?
It was in the locker after the game. He wouldn't let me go before
the game.
It was
in the
locker
room.
They'd lose for sure.
All the guys all guys have taken a knee, and there's Jeff in the very back, just kind of hiding behind one of the lockers, a super fan. He gets called up to the front, and instead of just waving and saying, hi, boys, nice game, do better next time, Jeff decides to make a speech.
I go Newt Rockne on him. Go Newt Rockne. It was unbelievable.
They'll
was
remember that the rest of their life.
Oh, sure they
They'll
will.
Be, you
who
know,
was that loser from Southern
I don't remember
Southern
who
Illinois.
That coach was, but man, when that super fan showed up after that one game, I don't even remember how the game went, but man, that made such an impression. Yeah. Changed my life.
I think I embarrassed my 11-year-old son, Justin, who was in the back. I think it desperately embarrassed the
Yeah, but you can just get used
lad.
To it. You're going to be doing that the rest of your life.
Yeah,
all exactly. right, email.
Do we have time to get one before the break? 2 minutes. Here's Gabe. The section about the last days on your website and programs are riddled with falsehoods and wishful thinking. Revelation is the capstone of the prophecy in the 66 book collection. Not the only book with anything to say on the subject. Feel free to win the loss and get them to heaven. Stop trying to muddy the water with questionable theories and heresy, writes Gabe.
What's he talking about? Do we have a section at our website on the end times?
Well, there's all kinds of, Todd, there's all kinds of resources on the end times on the website. But I did email him back and say anything particular. I haven't heard back from Gabe.
All right. Well, you know what? We're not trying to muddy the waters. When we do end times, you will notice on issues, et cetera, our goal doing end times is to do it in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way. Now, if that doesn't satisfy Gabe, that's just fine. But we're going to read every book of the Bible, including the apocalyptic literature, including biblical prophecy, including end times prophecy. We're going to read it the way that Jesus instructs us to read it, which is in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way. Now, if you consider that muddying the waters, I'm sorry, we don't. We consider that making Scripture's message clear. If you're looking for something in end times teaching other than the message of Christ and Him crucified, returning victorious with the forgiveness of sins and mercy for those who call upon Him, then I don't know what you can consider clearer than that. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll have more email. We've got some more critical email. I like the critical email best of all. Keep it at the top of the pile, if you would, Jeff. And some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. It's Friday afternoon, October the 16th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
Communication's never been as easy as today. So far away.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, as I say, using all original content. It will contain features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it that helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Bozeman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Bozeman.
Mr. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Some listener email on this Friday afternoon, live the 16th of October, and some comments here in just a moment. A special thanks to Pastor Alan Strawn and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bridgeport, Nebraska, They are a member of the Issues Etc. 300, one of many congregations. We're hoping eventually 300 congregations, thus the Issues Etc. 300, who support Issues Etc. with $1,000 a year at least in their mission or advertising budget. Find out how your congregation can do it as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote. You'll find a flyer there you can print off and take to your congregation. The Issues Etc. 300. More email.
This comes from Jonathan. It has to do in regards to the program we did reviewing the Truth Project, the DVD series sponsored and produced by Focus on the Family. Jonathan writes, and he says, I request that you read this information to your listeners. It concerns the Truth Project. The Truth Project directs interested viewers to links at the Focus on the Family website. Some of the material is not at all compatible with Christian theology. One, the Becoming a Christian says nothing about holy baptism. Nowhere does it encourage new Christians to be baptized. Type baptism and Focus on the Family search window and see what comes back. Two, it's been alleged by some that Dr. James Dobson believes that he is sinless. This opinion of himself arises because of the Nazarene Church's teaching of entire sanctification. Mr. Dobson is a Nazarene. It should come as no surprise that the Truth Project teaches law and consequences and not law and gospel, since the Truth Project is a Focus on the Family production. Three, the section First Steps in the Christian Life on the Focus on the Family website recommends a book by John Stott called Basic Christianity. However, Mr. Stott teaches annihilationism. Thus, the catechismal material that Focus on the Family recommends is heterodox. Four, I would like to point out that one of the presenters for the Truth Project, Wayne Grudem, subscribes to Third Wave Pentecostalism, which is taught by C. Peter Wagner. C. Peter Wagner is the presiding apostle of the International Coalition of Apostles. No kidding, I'm not making this up. This guy Wagner really thinks he's an apostle. Five, Lutheran churches should teach Lutheran theology. Pastor Ferguson, the guest on your show, passed over the writings of Johann Gerhardt, Martin Chemnitz, to offer up this pabulum. Why, oh why, is it that Lutheran churches always have time for the purpose-driven life, the prayer of Jabez, the Truth Project, and in fact, anything but Lutheran teaching? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Jonathan.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much. Look, we first of all, when you hear something on the show that you think deserves criticism, we want to hear from you. We really, really do. First of all, sometimes the criticism is legitimate. Sometimes it is something that we absolutely need to know and need to be called on. So please do this, all right? Plus, I like critical email. I like hearing it on the air. It's much better than you guys are doing a great job, which we love too. But that, you know we're doing a great job. We need, the criticism helps. Okay, now a couple of things. First of all, what we did with Pastor John Ferguson from Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis was a review of the Truth Project after he had used it very cautiously in his congregation. It was quite critical. If you go back and listen to that hour that we did the review, he was quite critical of many elements of it, many of the deficiencies in there. He was very cautious about those things. He approached it as a way of reintroducing his congregation simply to a Christian biblical worldview in the broadest sense. And we were quick to point out that it had no clear articulation of the gospel or of the sacraments. It was not Lutheran. So that our review is not intended in any way whatsoever to be an endorsement of either the Truth Project or, God forbid, Focus on the Family. They got some really good advice there, but their theology is, well, terrible. Now, what else did I write down here? Oh, let's not engage in guilt by association. Is James Dobson a Nazarene, and is Nazarene theology biblically deficient? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that everything put out by Focus on the Family reflects a Nazarene theology. Okay? I don't even think Dobson would assert that. Because there are people who appeared in the Truth Project who wrote books, other books elsewhere, advocating certain biblical interpretations or errors, that's kind of guilt by association. Sometimes, Wayne Grudem, I can think of none better on Sola Scriptura. But I'm not going to take his advice on practically anything else as good as a guest as he is. You'll hear him on our air if we're talking Sola Scriptura. All right? So what we try and do is we try and tap these people for where they are right rather than where they're so obviously wrong. I agree completely with the emailer. Lutherans should teach Lutheran theology, and I would be quick to point out in defense of my brother Ferguson that he did not pass over Gerhard or any of the other great teachings of Luther. He's quite diligent in teaching those things. He was looking for a resource for teaching a biblical worldview, reintroducing the idea of a truth-centered worldview. And he found this. He used it. He used it with great caution and with all sorts of caveats. And then he was kind enough to come on our air and review it for us with all of the caveats and all the criticism intact. And it was not intended to be in any way an endorsement, a review, not an endorsement.
When you were in the parish, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, Pastor, you know, I'd really like to get your thoughts on the purpose-driven life, would you say I would never teach a Bible class on the purpose-driven life?
No, in fact, I've said this before, and I have been as critical of the purpose-driven life as almost anyone else. There are people who have exceeded me, but I've been quite critical of the purpose-driven life. I think that a pastor should use it, but use it by way of critique, saying, look, this is what's out there. This is what everyone's reading. This is what everyone is gobbling up as though it was the next best thing since sliced bread. Let's see if it meets the biblical standard. And you can teach as much with something like that, showing where it falls short of the biblical standard, as you can with teaching purely orthodox stuff. And I think there's a time and a place for that, as long as people understand that what you're doing is you're not bone spitting. I do not endorse bone spitting. What you're doing is going through it and saying, here is a critique, here is a critical view of something that many Christians think is the gospel truth. Let's see if it is. Oh, by the way, when you compare it to the Bible, it isn't. And people do learn a lot that way. Next, a comment from the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
This is Herman, and I'm going to present a thesis from listening to the comments of Terry Mattingly, Dr. Robert Gagnon, and today, October 13th, Tuesday, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the gay marriage issue. I would contend that gay marriage or gay civil unions, both of them are actually Trojan horses in terms of the public forum of getting the government and its legal power behind not gay marriage, not gay civil unions, but the gay lifestyle. That is the real crux of what's going on. The gay movement doesn't care about marriage or civil unions. They care about their erotic self-indulgence and the ability for society to support their indulgence of it and to prey on society with their predilections. That's what it's all about, to get the government to give them favors, threaten others, infiltrate the public schools with homosexual propaganda. That's what it's really all about. The gay marriage thing, gay civil union, is just some kind of a smokescreen propaganda front to try to put a more or less a civilized package bowl on it, so to speak, to placate people. They're no more interested in that. In reality, that's just a ruse. It's curious that even when Terry Mattingly discussed the dilemmas that the ELCA now has of, given the divergence of the homosexual theology community over what their monogamy or lack of their of it is, how they're going to define it. You see, it's a can of worms all around, but that's my contention, that the whole the marriage thing, the civil union thing, while the public opinion polls may parse it, is essentially, from the homosexual movement point of view, about the homosexual lifestyle, first of all. I just leave that thesis with you. Thank you very much.
Well, there's no doubt, and thanks for the comment, Herman. There's no doubt whatsoever that marriage is not the end of the agenda here for those who are calling for the acceptance and legalization of same-sex marriage or same-sex civil unions. That's not the end they are seeking. The end they are seeking, it's a means to an end. The end they are seeking is, in fact, societal affirmation of homosexuality, the lifestyle, the behavior. And I think I would also be so bold as to say societal affirmation of things more bizarre as well. And that is beyond homosexuality, if such a thing could, if we could even talk about it that way, beyond homosexuality into polyamory and all sorts of deviant sexual behavior. You might say that their overall goal is something like overthrowing all sexual mores whatsoever, but it's pretty broad. I think you need to be a little more specific than that. So, yes, it's a means to an end. But make no mistake about it. They do want the legalization of same-sex marriage. But it's just a means to another end, societal affirmation of homosexuality.
An email from Joseph in Royston, Georgia. Just wanted to give you guys props for doing great radio, topic selection, production values, writing. Thank you for producing a program that engages both the heart and the mind. As a former producer of a Christian-based talk program, I have a unique appreciation of how difficult it is to produce a high-quality product day in and day out. You're doing an excellent job, and Todd is a terrific interviewer. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Joseph in Royston, Georgia.
Well, thank you very much, and that means a lot coming from somebody who has experience in this business. It's very nice. You know, we do try and work very hard. I don't personally work very hard, but I know for a fact that Craig and Jeff do, because they're here when I get here, whenever I stumble in. But we do work very hard to try, and not only in the content, but in the quality of the radio program, to do the very best we can. Why? Because we got the best listeners. They deserve it. They need it. All right, we'll be right back with more listener email and some from the comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, October the 16th. Issues, etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Giggle Free Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Episcopal Church has many self-inflicted problems, like their stand on homosexuality and abortion. One of the bright spots is Georgette Forney, the president of Anglicans for Life. One of her goals is to reach out to women in the Episcopal Church who've had an abortion and help them experience a healing rite she's developed for the church body. But the Reverend Nina Churchman, a priestess of the church, is outraged by the terminology associated with the healing program, calling abortion a sin. Reverend Churchman actually said, "God rejoices women facing unplanned pregnancies have the freedom to choose abortion." So she wants the healing program aborted. It's no wonder membership in the Episcopal Church is dropping like a rock, and this so-called priestess needs to do some soul-searching.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Well, just a moment ago, you heard a comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line. You can use it, too. Look, believe me, it's nothing fancy. It sits over in the corner. It's an answering machine. But we call it the Issues, Etc. comment line. The number, 618-223-8384, 24/7, 365 days a year. You can call with criticism, praise, comments, suggestions for the show. We had somebody in visiting yesterday. I think they asked Jeff back in his office, "Where do you get the ideas for your show and the guest?" And I heard Jeff say, "Well, you know, we know all these people, this, that, and the other thing, but a lot of the best ideas come from our listeners." That's what the comment line is for, among other things. 618-223-8384, the Issues, Etc. comment line. While we're on the subject of people visiting, yesterday it was Michael and David
Versman.
They were here from two different locales, one from Chester, Illinois. That was David. And Michael, his son, I believe, was from Billings, Montana. They came together. Well, I'll let Jeff describe it for you. It was a touching moment, wasn't it? Father and son kind of a moment.
Well, first of all, did you drink the milk that they – David works at the dairy down in Chester, Illinois.
Farm Fresh, I think.
Well, you're not supposed to – he said we're not supposed to call it that.
No, Chester, you used a different name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you used the rival's name.
Okay, okay. Anyway, he brought some strawberry milk and some chocolate milk. By the way, the Farm Fresh in the bottle milk, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean,
glass bottle.
We can't afford it at the Schwartz household, but Grandpa Schwartz, if we go to my mom and dad's for brunch on Sundays, the kids get the Farm Fresh, and he always buys an extra one for the kids throughout the week to have the chocolate milk from Farm Fresh. Did you have any yet?
I haven't had any yet.
Oh,
sitting
my
in the
goodness.
Fridge.
Oh, to die for. Poor Craig didn't get any, but we won't go into that, right?
But it was, so thanks for the milk, by the way.
Oh,
it
thank
was,
you.
It was that kind of father and son bonding moment, I think.
Yeah, it's a, you know, there's the way I look at life, you know, the older I get, you know, you tend to pontificate, look back at your life, and father and son.
That we called reminisce, not pontificate, but go on.
Okay, you're right. By the way, what are you doing on Monday, October 23rd?
Nothing, because the date doesn't exist.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was pontificating. If, you know, father and sons, you have different phases throughout your relationship together. It starts out playing catch in the backyard with dad, right? Then you grow up and you go deer hunting and you get your first buck or doe or, I don't know, I skipped that. My dad didn't do that one, as you can tell.
Yes, obviously.
And then as you progress in life, you get older, the next stage three of father-son relationship is bonding by listening to issues, etc. together, like Michael and Dave Versman do, one in Chester, Illinois, and one in Billings, Montana.
It really is the pinnacle of kind of the male bonding. I mean, if you ask me, I can't think of anything that epitomizes what it is to the father and son bond than to listening together to issues, etc. I mean, it's one of those kind of things that if you can do that as father and son, you're doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well. So they were here yesterday. They brought some milk. They got to see the studio. We even got a picture posted at our Facebook fan page. And thanks for stopping by. And thanks for the milk.
We like visitors. We used to get lots of them at our former place because we were on the Concordia Seminary campus. And a lot of people would come in and say, are you Don Matzett? No, I'm just teasing. But no, we'd have people come
in.
For
the first couple of years, they did.
Yeah.
Very disappointed look on their face.
No, I've told this story many times. These tours come in because they come into Concordia Seminary when Don Matzett was hosting the show, and Don dressed maybe even worse than Todd did. You know, holes in his blue jeans. Although I never saw him in plaid manprees before.
Not even on a golf day?
No, I wouldn't call manprees. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Boy, there's a visual I don't need. Anyway, these particularly older ladies, they wanted to meet the Reverend, Right Reverend Don Matzett. You know, they'd come into the lobby.
They picture him sitting behind the microphone with a clerical collar and a black suit and pectoral cross. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like, oh, you didn't see him? And it's like, what do you mean? He was on the bench out front before you came in with the baseball cap, blue jeans, and cigarette in his mouth. That was the Right Reverend Don Matzett.
I thought he was the janitor.
Yeah, right. But yeah, we like it, visitors.
We love visitors. And we're not trying to be hard to find. It's just, you know, we are a little out of the way. But anybody wants to come and visit, please tell us you're coming before because we need a chance to empty the trash cans. Just give us a chance to empty the trash cans and clear the food boxes, the pizza boxes off the desks, and then you're welcome to come.
Which makes a perfect segue into our next email.
Oh, really?
Jonathan writes, are any of the items from the Issues Etc. bundle pack, t-shirts, etc., available for purchase, or do they have to be earned? I don't believe I can compete with the insightful comments of the regular Soundbite of the Week callers. I've heard they're the smartest listeners in radio. But I'm willing to offer my torso for advertising space, and I'm willing to pay for the privilege of supporting and promoting your show. Forgive me if I'm missing something obvious, but I don't see a link for ordering swag on the webpage, and with the exception of the bumper stickers, don't recall hearing mention of anything on the show. Thanks for the email, Jonathan.
Well, primarily, the only avenue for receiving, there are only several avenues for receiving any of the Issues Etc. swag. That would be the Issues Etc. I Have Issues t-shirt. There's a new version coming out, by the way. When are those supposed to
be? We just ordered them today. Just placed the order today.
The I Have Issues t-shirt.
The new logo.
With the new logo. the Issues Etc. travel mug, still have plenty of those, and then the Issues Etc. pen Issues Etc. bumper sticker. There's a new one of those too, because we ran out of the previous versions. If you play Soundbite of the Week and we pick your vote as the best vote for Soundbite of the Week, we
in about
send
an
you,
hour from now,
right? We send you an Issues Etc. or a LPR bundle package, including all those things. Or if you stop by and visit us, or you're a guest on the program here in studio, we always make sure you walk away with those things in your hand. And starting next week, if you join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, just like it was in the old days, do we give all the stuff away? Do we give them the bundle package when they join the Reformation Club, or is it just NIAV Issues
T-shirt? Just the T-shirt.
And then the other stuff, you have to find other means. We sometimes give it away for other reasons too. But those are the ways we consciously don't sell it, because we would sell out. And also, we don't sell it because we kind of like to keep it special for everybody. By the way, Pastor Cum was wearing his I Have Issues T-shirt a couple days on the cruise. And, you know,
I hope he was in the shade too, right?
He's so, well, you know him. He's so manly. He's so virile, so masculine. He didn't wear any sunscreen whatsoever. He went out and golfed 18 holes at a championship course near Calica on the Yucatan Peninsula. One day he went out, and it takes a long time to golf 18 holes. In the heat of the day, under the baking Mexican sun, he came back bronzed and no worse for wear whatsoever. I mean, he's the kind of guy that steps out in the Mexican sun, and the Mexican sun asks his permission if it can shine on him. That's just how tough he is. You know, he is Chuck Norris. He is kind of the pastoral version of Chuck Norris. You knew that, didn't you? I mean, that's what you're dealing with.
I know. If you go in and you online, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, type in male, masculine, man.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I think it's number three, is the Reverend Michael Cum.
Absolutely.
It's there. Check it out, folks.
I know, it is. We wouldn't make this stuff up.
I'd love to bring Janet in to respond to that one.
Yes.
Okay, here's an email from Michael in Michigan. Okay, it has to do with your review with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of the book Pagan Christianity by Frank Viola and George Barna. Although the book above and its authors have gone to some extremes, the biblical facts remain the same. This is a long one. You know how much I hate being on the radio. Please, you know, you got a better chance
of
being
on. I'll stop you when the point has been
made. Okay, good. You have a better chance of getting your email read if it's short. Because I decide what goes on and what doesn't. Keep it short. But we like the ones that criticize us, so we're going to read them. Regardless of which points are true about this book, every believer is called upon by God to obey that which he has made known to them. Your guest, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, made numerous references to the church being a building, although he knows precisely this cannot be true, nor is it true. This is the primary problem we all face as believers. That's the primary problem we all face as believers.
All right, let me stop you there, since it does go on, and it's essentially the vein of the thing. That, you know, the church is not a building. The church is the kingdom of Christ. It is something that cannot in its entirety be seen by human eyes. It is an article of faith, with which I agree, and Dr. Schmidt agrees completely. Nonetheless, we're kind of stuck with the English language as we have it, aren't we? And you drive by a building that has a steeple, a front door, a bunch of people outside going there on Sunday morning. There's a cross there, perhaps, too, with some stained glass windows. Like it or don't like it, you're going to have to find out. Go ahead. Call it just the building if you want to. So what's your point? Everyone knows, and it is so obvious, that the building is not the church of which Christ speaks. No one, I don't know of anyone who believes that. So that's really just a straw man. If you ask me, I think any Christian who has cursory biblical knowledge understands that the church is, in fact, the called out of God, the children of God, those who hear the shepherd's voice, those who belong to Christ. I don't think anyone argues about that at all. The problem is, with pagan Christianity, that book, what it does is it goes through and basically says, other than that, everything else has a pagan origin. Untrue. It's not even historically true. Well, you say, okay, not a pagan origin, but it's man-made. That's not true either. Many of the things that the church does, that the called of God does, do not come from man, but from God. The sacraments from Christ's own institution, right? They're in the pages of Scripture. The Lord's Supper, baptism, absolution. The singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right there. St. Paul, Philippians, prayer, gathering together, public preaching, commanded by Christ. Acts of mercy in the communities where these congregations find themselves. These are not the works of men. These are not things invented by men. There's far more in the church, even as we see it today, which is the handiwork of God rather than men. We'll be right back.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just hooked me a little.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes here in the first hour of the program, going through listener email, Issues Etc. comment line. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for October. So good we brought it back for another month from September. The Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out all about it at our website, issuesetc.org. This is a study Bible, but better. It not only has solid reformational scholarship behind it, right there in the notes for you to access on each and every verse. It also has devotional material. You'll find out more about it there at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Oh, back to me?
Back to you. When I stop talking, you start talking.
I'm still looking for a blog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do have that coming up here in a few minutes, don't we?
Yeah, your blog of the week's coming up here, and I'm still looking.
Well, wait until I start talking again, and you can do
it. I had one chosen, but you know how competitive I am? You're boasting about how good yours is this week, so I'm afraid mine is of lesser value.
Well, usually it's the other way around, though, I think, sometimes. I mean, I think you have the knack for picking the winner, if there is a winner between the two.
All right, this is an email from Betsy Nagel. She, of course, is the lovely bride of Dr. Norman Nagel, a regular guest over the last 15 years on Issues Etc. Dr. Nagel suffered a stroke last year, and she sent us an email. She says, I want to thank you very, very much for your kindness of some months past, obviously encouraging your listeners to email or write Dr. Nagel, and they did. Norman was overwhelmed, really, by the large number of people who wrote him and by their concern, their caring messages of encouragement, and by the strong Christian faith expressed by each one. At first, I planned to personally answer and thank everyone and did answer a half a dozen or so. And then, with full days, etc., etc., I had to give up that thought. I only hope that they know in their hearts what sharing their faith and concern meant to both Dr. Nagel and me. What a personal and responsive relationship you and Todd have developed with your loyal listeners. So to you and Todd and to all those whom you serve so fruitfully and faithfully, we both wish every continued blessing, writes Betsy Nagel.
Well, that is great to hear. I mean, that is absolutely marvelous to hear that our listeners, with a simple request from yours truly, were able to pour out their concern and their compassion for the Nagels. It's very good. And I'll tell you what, the Nagels need it and certainly cherish it. And the prayers continue for Dr. Nagel and for his wife, Betsy, for continued recovery, for good health, all those things as well. This is a man who has had untold influence on so many pastors-to-be, pastors now in the parish, through his writing, through his preaching, through his teaching, both here and elsewhere. And this is a man who has bettered the church, has served the church selflessly, and has helped a lot of pastors get their heads back on straight with regard to Lutheran theology. So thank you, listeners, for doing all of that for the Nagels.
All right, Mark in Homer Glen, Illinois. It's not Glen Homer. It's Homer Glen. I don't know. For some reason, I wanted to say Glen Homer. I don't know. Any reason why I didn't do that?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is the finer brands of scotch begin with Glen something, but
well, there is
you
Glen,
wouldn't know that, so
we're about 5 miles away from Glen Carbon, Illinois. Maybe that's why.
That's probably why.
Mark from Homer Glen, Illinois writes, I'll have you know, I listened to the Friday show on Saturday afternoon about the topic of passing virus via the common chalice. I must say that after a few years as an elder and assisting with communion, and given the choice, I would never choose to use the chalice. So what happens on Sunday, you may ask? I went to communion while visiting a different congregation, and I somehow missed the individual tray and had to actually use the chalice for the first time in 20 years. Wouldn't you know it, by 8 o'clock that evening, I had a sore throat and now have a full-blown head cold. Thanks, guys. I'm convinced that it's all your fault. Seriously, in any cold and flu season, I would encourage using the individual cups and make the hand-sanitizing goop readily available. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Mark, in Homer Glen, Illinois.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for listening there in Homer Glen. And look, I have contended this is a matter of personal piety. I think someone who wants to push the issue of one cup for all in communion must do the same for one bread. In fact, it is one bread that Paul actually explicitly describes to the Corinthians. And I don't hear anybody pushing the one bread thing. Or if they do, it's like, well, yeah, one bread too. We'll get to that. But let's worry about the cup. I fail to understand I do understand the symbolism. I do understand the desire to remain as close as possible to Christ's institution. But I don't think his institution was specific to the number of cups or the number of breads. I think it had to do with what's in the cup and what the bread, Christ tells us what the bread in fact is according to his institution. I'm mystified by the ferocity of the debate. I think people can have their preferences, but we don't want to turn our preferences into conscience-binding theological prescriptions. And look, let's just do it on the basis of Scripture, all right? And let's say, you know what I'm far more concerned about? I'm far more concerned that the actual teaching of what the Lord's Supper is suffers in Lutheran congregations as we speak, while people who should know better debate the flatware and the cuppery. I'm far more concerned that the teaching of the Lord's Supper, not in those churches, but in other churches, it suffers. It is replaced with something less than Christ's full institution, and the people remain ignorant of it. So let's make sure that we're teaching what the Lord's Supper is, what Christ has actually instituted, what he actually promises and gives there. And then as time goes by, when people say, you know, Pastor, shouldn't we have a chalice on the altar too? You say, that's a good idea. And if the people come to you and say, Pastor, should we get rid of the individual cups for these various good reasons? You say, maybe so. Or if they say, should we introduce individual cups for these various good reasons, a pastor should say, so that the people continue to receive Christ's body and blood? Maybe so. I just don't see the point in the debate.
I will say this, though, as an elder, I think there's just as many germs on the individual cups, especially if you use the plastic ones, because the plastic ones come and they're so sealed so tightly, I individually have to pull every one of those off to pull them apart. Then you got to put them, after you fill them, you put them back in.
Look, if you talk to anybody in microbiology, they will tell you, good luck staying away from the germs. If it's not in the cup, it's on you, okay? Look, we're going to pick up germs wherever we go. Some of them are going to make us sick. Some of them aren't. Shouldn't stop us from receiving the medicine of immortality. However we receive it shouldn't stop us from receiving it.